You're listening to Sounds of the Bazaar Internet Radio, live from the Personal Learning Environment 2011 conference in Southampton in England. And thank you. And it's proving to be a great conference. We've got, I guess, about 80 people here today from all over, not just all over Europe, from all over the world, running about three or four parallel sessions. And it's lively right from the start, right from the unkeynoting session that we opened the conference with. There was one great Twitter comment I saw from someone who was watching on the stream who said, "It's handbags at Southampton." And indeed it was. And I'm going to go and try and find the unkeynote. Scott Wilson and Christina Costa, I won't say presented the session, but they facilitated the session. And I'm creeping up on Christina, who doesn't really know that I'm right behind her. Christina, tell me something about your session this morning.
Well, it was quite interesting to kind of get to do a different format and to kind of engage.
So what was the format?
The format was a fishbowl, so basically the audience does all the work for us. We just come up with some motions and some controversial topics and get people to discuss it. And it was quite interesting to kind of get people involved and see how people would move from the bowl outside and inside with their own perspectives and how everyone was discussing them.
And what were the issues which came up in that session this morning?
Well, there were some different issues. There was the perspective of the students. There was the perspective of the lecturers. There was also the perspective of the IT. So we tried to kind of tease out the different kind of agents in the teaching and learning environment, and tried to kind of make sense of how those have a play and influence the way we use technology, and then PLEs are employed in as part of our developing and learning.
And there was some quite lively debate, I think, in the fishbowl, which, I mean, if you've never seen fishbowl before, we had about four or five people sitting in the middle of a square and people periodically coming up and replacing them. But what were the things which were causing the heat in the debate? I mean, there's obviously the institutional issue. Can PLEs be provided by an institution, yeah? And also, I think, quite a lot of discussions about the roles of teachers and the pedagogy.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's we're still there's all of the paradigms that still need to be shifted, and there's all of the structure that's also in place that actually does not help or support that at all. So there was a lot of issues about the roles of the students, but also the roles of the teachers, and also assessment was actually a big issue, and how we kind of change assessment to kind of fit in the kind of the new strategies, and how PLE then can become part of not only of the learning, but also ways of in which we assess that learning.
And I guess those are going to be the major issues. Thank you, Christina. Christina's just halfway through her lunch when I interrupted you, but thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Okay, just a word of Sounds of the Bazaar. I noticed on the programme for this conference, it's actually printed as Sounds of the Bizarre, and in fact, bizarre, some of our programmes may be construed to be. But I thought I'd actually tell you where the Sounds of the Bazaar comes from. It started out as a podcast series, I guess around 5-6 years ago, and the name actually came from The Cathedral and the Bazaar, which some of you may know is a book by Richard Stallman, and that was really the book which launched open source software, and he compared the process of developing closed source software to developing the cathedral, the perfect spires, whilst he said open source software is more like the bazaar in that people wander around, buy things, sell things, add to things, take things, a bricolage type effect. And that's where we got the idea of Sounds of the Bazaar. So tempted though I am to change the Sounds of the Bazaar, and bizarre as we may be, Sounds of the Bazaar does have a historical root. Anyway, I'm going to go into a musical break now, and we'll be coming back with more great interviews from Southampton, from the PLE conference on the Sounds of the Summer. This is Sounds of the Bazaar live. Over to you, Doug.
I am a
Hi, welcome back. Bit of a longer break than we intended. Microphone number one went down, the battery went flat, so I've switched on to microphone number two. And my old friend Maria Perifano is here. Welcome back to Sounds of the Bazaar, Maria. You've been on the program many times. Handing the microphone over to Maria.
Okay. Hello, everyone. I'm very happy to be here for the second time, you know. Second conference, PLE conference. Okay, you're taking some pictures. Okay, this is great. Very interactive, I would say. So I would like to speak with Linda Castañeda.
Linda Castañeda.
Okay, our chair program committee. And I would love to hear from you, how is this second experience? What is this great... we could say that the great idea behind the unconference, PLE conference. Tell us, for a second time, what's your experience?
From my experience, well, PLE conference is a concept, and it's also a different concept. We are plenty of normal conferences. The world is almost full of them. Big events to show what are you doing. But this is a different conference. It was in Barcelona, and it continued being. We continue being, speaking with other people, sharing with other people, trying to do completely different things in order to improve our personal learning environment. I think it would be very nice if you could improve your personal learning environment by these kind of things. It's not a question of continue being and come here and show. Only to share is more important. So the unconference to learn and probably networking, definitely networking, but unprepared networking, it could be really great. So that's the point.
Would you tell us a little bit about the atmosphere here today until now?
Well, I'm pretty happy because there are many people from Spain. There are many.
Again, this year too?
No. Yeah. This year, in this faraway environment, there are many people from Spain, many people from Portugal, many people from everywhere. I know there are some people from United States, someone from Canada, and so on. And this is a very friendful environment, and this very relaxed environment, but very positive and dialoguing environment.
We had also today some keynote speakers that had a very different keynote session.
Definitely. It was a very different session. Indeed, they didn't do the keynote. We did. It was nice. But at least next time you have to pay for... we don't pay them, actually. Probably this is the reason because they don't do the keynote. But it was nice. People has the word here, the power.
Thank you very much. And we will talk again very soon.
You're listening to Sounds of the Bazaar. Got a bit of a special treat come out for you because, though he doesn't know it, Scott Wilson is here. And I guess if anyone, it was his diagram that launched PLEs. We're going to have a very short musical break and I'm going to run to cut him off escaping. And we're going to have Scott Wilson on the radio in just 2 minutes. We'll be right back. to Sounds of the Bazaar live. Live from the PLE conference in Southampton. And a few years ago, someone called Scott Wilson came out with a diagram, which I think was called the Future VLE. And then it got voted as the most influential diagram in some kind of EduBlog Awards. And it morphed into the PLEs. And that was it, Scott. So how does it feel to have been the father of all this stuff?
I really don't know, to be honest. It's all a bit strange. You know, you'd write some things and think, right, this is the most important thing I've done. And everyone's like, what? And then you do something like, right, I'll just knock out this diagram to send to this mailing list. And before you know it, whoa, you know, it's a huge phenomenon. So it's a bit strange, really. Just, you know, struck a chord at the time.
And obviously struck a chord, which has gone on. But why do you think then, from an unlikely beginning, that the PLE idea, we'll talk more about what it means, has got such traction in the last 3 or 4 years?
I think part of it is to do with frustrations people have, and frustrations about the way things turned out. I think if we go back to the 90s and how people thought institutional technology would work, I think there was a lot of quite naive thinking by people in edtech, thinking they would control this and set its direction. But they didn't, of course. It got taken up by the wider organisation, which has different sorts of objectives. And what was originally thought as being a very diverse kind of technology base turned out something pretty homogenous. You know, every VLE looked like every other VLE because it reduced the functions that were most useful for organisations. And I think the PLE gave a little bit of an outlet for people who felt a bit maybe cut out from that whole process.
But is the whole PLE thing going anywhere now? Quite clearly a lot, for me, one of the interesting things is a lot of the people who think most deeply about teaching and learning and the use of technology have become involved in PLEs, so it's given space. But do you think PLEs is going anywhere, or do you think it's just a phase that we're going through and we'll move on to something else in the future?
I think what it was that PLE, for me, was only a description. It was a description of actually the way I think things actually are. It doesn't really require you to do anything about it in many respects. So in that case, I think maybe it does have a limit on its life. And what we actually are ending up discussing is more and more is things like, for example, assessment. Assessment becomes actually a richer topic of discussion. And PLE just gives you an intro to having that sort of conversation.
So it's an intro to the contradictions, essentially, but behind the way actually people do learn using technology, regardless of what institutional barriers you put on it. But the contradictions are where that fits with traditional, institutional, not just provision of technology, but provision of education.
Exactly. What it does is give you an opportunity to rethink, well, why do we do assessment like this? Why is feedback regulated in this fashion? I think it gives you an opportunity to think about the way that the regulations of the education system are constructed, and a way of, in some ways, it's kind of quite retro, I think, the PLE. I think it gives you an opportunity to think back to the pre-technology university and, well, why did we go down this path when we had all these options open?
And that is interesting, isn't it? Because you always sort of see things as inevitable with technology, but they're not. There's always choices to be made.
Exactly. And one of the concepts I find quite useful is something called path dependence. I think it was Neil Gaiman that gave an interesting discussion of why are all satellites the shape and size of a nuclear warhead? And it was because the only way to get the rockets funded was by selling the idea of the intercontinental ballistic missile. And so now you have a space industry predicated on, you know, warheads. In the same way that VLEs have a path dependence that originated in groupware systems of the 1980s. And you only realise that when you can go back and re-examine them and think, well, actually, what if they weren't based on 80s groupware systems? What would they be like? What sort of things could we do? But you can only get to that by, if you like, going to an earlier stage in the path before a lot of choices had already been made. And PLE gives us a kind of like a way of kind of sweeping things away, in a way, of going back and saying, well, actually, could we have done things differently?
Okay, then a very last question. What's the stuff that's grabbing you for the future now? Where do you think, where are you looking at research and development in learning and technology?
I think it's quite difficult at the moment because so many things are happening at the same time. So I've got one foot in the mobile world, one foot in like the widgets and distributed applications, W3C type world. I think there's so much going on, but what we have to do right now is keep track of a lot of promising things, right? We don't know from one day to the next which is going to be the hot technology. And I think what that says is that you have to be a bit more reflective about what do you want technology to do, and at what point do you get off this treadmill and stop it with tech.
Thank you very much, Scott. Okay, that's great stuff. We're going to have a musical break now, and then we'll be back, and I'm not quite sure where we'll be back to or what we'll be saying, but anyway, into the music.
Come on over, baby, whole lot of shaking going on. Yes, I say, come on over, baby, baby, you can't go wrong. We ain't faking, whole lot of shaking going on. Well, I say, come on over, baby, we got chicken in the corner. I said shake, baby, shake. I said shake it, baby, shake it. I said shake, baby, shake. Come on over.
Great technical disasters that can happen. You know, I said earlier that microphone number one had died and I switched to number two. Just as I was doing this switch, then number two went dead. But fortunately, Dirk Stiglitz, who's doing a great job along with Andrew Ravenscroft, who are teching this session, switched the batteries and I've got new batteries on this microphone. Anyway, one of my favourite sessions at conferences is posters. And I've always thought posters are highly underrated. I like posters because it is the ultimate sort of multimedia at conferences. And we've got about six or seven posters here, and I've got the pleasure that I'm going to be chairing the poster session tomorrow. Anyway, I've got one poster which I really like because it's been put together with bits of A4 rather than being on one poster. And I like the whole bricolage idea. And I've got Maria, and I'm going to ask her to pronounce her second name in a moment. Tell me what your second name is, Maria, because I don't dare try.
My name is pronounced Zając. I'm from Poland, Krakow.
Okay, and Maria from Poland, Krakow, is the author of this poster. She's a lecturer and researcher at the Computer Science Department at the Pedagogical University, Krakow. And her poster is called The Teacher's Kit for Personalised Learning. Tell me, Maria, what is this teacher's kit for personalized learning?
Well, the reason for my project is that I'm involved in teaching teachers for more than 20 years. And I've seen that for those 20 years, we are talking about using ICT in education, but mainly as the main factor, as a tool, not about the way how we teach. And I think that the main obstacle for changing that is that the teachers are not aware how to use effectively ICT. Only as a help, I mean. Effectively, that means that that's not the main point of our attention, and that's why I got the idea to involve the concept of preparing the tool, the kit for teachers. When they have it ready, made by different teachers, maybe they will feel more encouraged to use these tools in a way that help the learners learn what they want to learn, prepare them for the further life, and not thinking directly about the ICT tools.
I certainly agree from my own experience. Okay, now I'm going to try perhaps the first in radio here. I'm going to try and show you the poster over radio. Maria's got a whole series of assumptions which a toolkit is based around. Assumption number one is technology is only a tool, not the way. She's got assumption number two, to enable personalised learning, both the teachers and the learners themselves should know the learning styles they use. She's got another poster side called How to Use It. She's got another Things to be Done pilot phase, the pros and cons, and the further plans. And she's got some research questions. Is there any difference in the results of learning by the use of individualised approaches? Are Web 2 technologies significant help for personalisation learning? And what's the teacher's attitude to personalised learning? I'm going to ask Maria to tell me what she thinks about her research questions. You've asked questions there. What do you think the answers are?
Well, actually, I didn't know the answers. It's only the pilot phase of the project, as I said, and as you've heard. So, well, I think that in general, individualized approach should help, but my research should prove whether it's true or not. I can't say now definitely it is.
So, hopefully, PLE 2012, I shall come back and ask you the same questions, and we'll know the answers. Thank you very much, Maria.
Thanks. I hope I'll be able to answer the question.
Okay, great stuff. We're going to a musical breakdown, and we'll come back for the last part of the programme. The programme's just slipping by today. Over to you, Dirk. You're listening to Sounds of the Bazaar.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring, bound by wild desire. I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire. The ring of fire.
You're listening to Sounds of the Bazaar live. The sounds of the summer, the sounds of the best conferences, the sounds of education. Live from Southampton in England from the PLE Conference 2011. And I'm co-presenting this programme today with Maria Perifano. Over to you, Maria.
Hello again. Well, I have found here another person from Greece, and they said that I should ask many things now. How come you heard about PLE conference? What was your motivation to come to see what's going on here?
Actually, Graham Atwell was my motivation to come.
Okay, say more, say more. Eleni Butsina, okay.
Yes, my supervisor said that if I want new ideas, I should come here, because it's not the traditional conference where I could just listen to people talking. I could actually interact with and keep on the contacts and all the interesting stuff.
So you had a great motivation. So now, until now, yeah, tell us, did you fulfill your... your first idea?
Well, I took part at the keynote. What else should I?
Yes, we tortured you. Yes, yes, I remember.
So, yes, until now, it's going well.
Okay. Would you like also to share with us your topic? What your interest more specifically? What do you want to ask Graham? Tell us.
But, like, with a mic?
Yes.
Okay, I would like to know more about the Gateway project, because it's very similar to my PhD theme.
Yeah, the Gateway project is a European-funded project under the Lifelong Learning Programme, and we're looking at educational transitions and at how we can use Web 2.0 to help people in educational transitions. So how does that fit with your theme?
My theme is how networks can help the transition from higher education to the workplace.
Yeah, and we've looked to an extent at networks, and networks are important. But then if we say that networks might be important in helping people, particularly from school to work and from university to work, which I know is a big problem in your country, what role can we as educators play in helping people build those networks?
I don't have the answer to that.
And I think that's the big issue for me. As a researcher, we know networks are important, but as practitioners, quite clearly, it means for me we have to change some of the pedagogic approaches and support that process of network building, but support that process of developing digital identities online, which I think quite a lot of people are unsure of. Let me ask you, what social networking programs do you use?
I don't use any social network programs. I actually don't have any digital identity. I deleted all my social network accounts. And
why did you do that?
Why? Because I want to start something new. So I don't know, I might resurrect myself sometime in the near future, but I didn't want to have like a schizophrenic thing between my personal networks and my professional network. So the solution to that was to delete everything.
And I think that's interesting, because that came up in a session that me and Maria ran at the conference this morning, of that conflict between social networks and professional networks. And that's a theme I think we might well pick up this afternoon for those of you here live at the conference, or those of you who are watching the stream of the conference. There's a symposium, I'm not quite sure which room it's in, but it's looking at the issue of institutional PLEs, networks, etc. And I think that's going to be a theme we'll pick up. So thank you very much, Lady.
Well, thank you.
It's great to have you on the radio. This is Internet Radio. This is live. This is live from Southampton, live from the PLE conference. You're listening to Sounds of the Bazaar Live.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. The taste of love is sweet.
Okay, folks, Sounds of the Bazaar, first day from Southampton. This is the end of the programme, but you've got a great summer. This is the Summer of the Sounds. We'll be broadcasting the same time tomorrow, live from Southampton. Friday, we've got a really interesting programme for you. Going out at 15:30 UK time. That's 14:30 in Europe. And it's part of a workshop. And we're running that in conjunction with Radioactive, live radio from London. I'll be explaining more about that programme tomorrow. That's going out on Friday. Next week, I'll be broadcasting live from the Gary Chapman Summer School in Portugal. That's jointly organised by the University of Texas, the University of Porto. And later, more news to come in the month. We'll start next month. We'll be broadcasting live from the San Marino Festival. Name check for Mary if you're listening. We'll be in San Marino with the Sounds of the Bazaar. Signing out for now. Thanks to everyone who's come on the programme. Thanks to Andrew. Thanks for Dirk for the teching today. This is Graham Atwell signing out from Sounds of the Bazaar.